All right, we are live. The Android Does Show, episode 17. I said that last week. Last week was not episode 17, it was episode 16. That's what happens when you take a month off, right? my name is Jeremiah from AndroidDoes.net. I'm here tonight with James and Nick. How you guys doing tonight?
Doing all right.
Excellent.
Fantastic. Well, we've got a jam-packed show tonight. We've got a lot to cover. A lot of news, some new upgrade plans from T-Mobile and AT&T, new one coming from Verizon as well. We'll go into those. Verizon is expected to be announcing their new Motorola Droid phones here in about a week or so. So we'll go into that a little bit. Google, rumored to be working on an online TV service. Lots of hardware, stuff announced, stuff rumored. We're kind of getting into the rumors that are going to be coming out for the fall, the retail holiday. So the summer is usually pretty slow for actual news, but all the stuff that's going to hit in September or the beginning of October, it's all being rumored right now. So some software stuff, Google Glass Boutique, we'll finally seeing some native Glass apps. But let's jump right into it. I want to start off with these new plans. So we did the show last week on Tuesday, and Wednesday, T-Mobile announced the new JUMP, all capital letters with an exclamation point, JUMP plans. They let users upgrade every 6 months for an additional $10 a month. That's what it breaks down to. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with T-Mobile's was an Un-carrier plans.
Mm-hmm. So they're called? They're excellent.
Yeah, yeah. There's no contract. It basically is a interest-free loan for your phone. You pay $20 a month for the phone. Once the phone's paid off, it's yours to keep, and your bill drops by $20. So really great idea. No more phone subsidies. No more locked in a contract. Pay it off early if you want to. This new JUMP upgrade plan is kind of a tweak to that. So you add an extra $10 a month on top of the $20 that you're paying for the phone, the phone payments that you're making. And once you sign up for JUMP, you're in it for 6 months, and then you can upgrade twice every year. So in a 12-month period, you can get a new phone. You turn in your old phone, get a new phone. You still have to pay the down payment. So most phones are going to have a $99 or maybe $149 down payment on them. And then you just pay the $20 a month, you can get a new phone. If you use it every 6 months, it comes out to be like you're paying $330-ish, depending on the phone, to basically have the latest and greatest phone every 6 months. Which is not necessarily a bad deal. I mean, you have to turn the old phone in. But if you're buying a top-of-the-line phone for $600, $650 at full retail, in 6 or 8 months you flip it on Craigslist or eBay for $400, you're still ended up paying $250. So it's not necessarily a great deal, but it's not a bad deal. AT&T, Nick, I'll pause here. Nick or James, are you guys on those on carrier plans? Have you played with those at all?
Yeah. Here you go.
Yeah, that's what I'm running right now.
Yep, same thing.
Cool. It works well. It seems to be a pretty good value, and you guys are liking it?
I'm paying $50 less than I was on Verizon, and I have the same level of service. Same number of minutes, text messages, data, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I went from the old T-Mobile plans, and with the same exact, same number of data plans, same number of lines, etc. I'm like, it's like $70 or $80 less a month than what I used to pay. And the only difference is I have to buy my phones outright, but whoop-de-doo, I sell it on Craigslist, and I basically pay $200 a year, and I get a brand new phone. And I don't have to pay, any extra monthly costs.
Now, and if you're saving $70, $80 a month, even if you lowball that at $70 a month,
yeah,
3 months and you got a new phone.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, good. That's good. The still having to pay the deposit up front and the extra $10 a month, again, doesn't make buying the new phone with T-Mobile that great of a deal on this new jump plan, but it still works out in your benefit. And obviously, any of these carriers are not going to be doing things like this if they're not making money.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I'm absolutely 100% believe that, you know, companies should make money, and, you know, the companies that do stay in business. Like, it's just kind of the way it works.
It's the reason they're there.
Right. But at the same time, it needs to be a win-win. Like, your customers have to be getting something from it. You know, we've talked about this before, but it's the difference between using Google services and using Facebook. Google provides compelling, top-notch products that make you want to use them. And so you're willing to trade something for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, not so much. That's why people don't like using Facebook, even though they still do. You don't like it. So,
yeah.
You know? So with T-Mobile's plans, obviously they're making money, and maybe you're not coming out way ahead. Maybe you're even, you know, if you don't upgrade every 6 months, it's not that good of a deal. But it still can be, and it's an option, you know?
So it seems like the easier way than, you know, doing it yourself is a sort of a convenience fee type of thing.
Right. That's a great way to think about
so
it.
So you still make out ahead, just maybe not as much as if you did it yourself.
Just takes advantage of the lazy, you know.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And you know, if you've got the extra money,
pay it too.
Yeah, if you've got the extra money, or it's something that you don't want to mess with, I will absolutely pay for convenience.
Because yeah, Swappa is just that hard.
It's right. So difficult.
But some people don't like messing with. You know, Swappa is definitely a good way to go. But eBay and I've always had good experiences with Craigslist. But you got to be careful with that too. So.
Yeah, it can be scary. Just meeting some random person in a random place. Yeah, you know, nothing can go wrong there.
Yep. I've been selling a bunch of old, like, I found an old flip phone, an old Bluetooth, Sony Bluetooth speaker that I wasn't using anymore. There are a couple, like, 3-4 things in the last month that I sold on Craigslist, so I'm feeling like a pro. But it is, man. I met one girl, like, on the corner downtown. It was super. It wasn't sketchy for me, but she was like, "I'm passing you money on the street. I gotta go." Okay, here's your phone. Have a good one. You know, like, whatever. But, so yeah, absolutely, just paying for convenience. AT&T announced their new upgrade plan called Next. That was announced, I don't know, yesterday. I think. So. It's a similar concept. The details are a little different. And that was... Actually, I'm sorry, that wasn't announced yesterday. That was announced today. They...
You get it right.
Yeah. Only 24 hours. Not even 18 hours. Sorry, I have infants. Not infants, toddlers. So
that's absolutely no excuse.
Until you have your own, you don't get to talk.
Yeah. Shut up, Nick. childless.
Continue.
Yep. It's coming, don't worry. So AT&T's plan, the customers get a new device with no down payment. So kind of nice, you don't have to pay anything up front. Upgrade and activation fees are waived with AT&T Next, just like they are with T-Mobile. You're not paying anything extra to upgrade. You know, some AT&T and Verizon, Sprint, are charging, I think T-Mobile does too, on a regular plan. You got to pay, you know, $18, $20, something like that, $30 to upgrade.
Stupid little thing.
Yep. No reason for it. Just, hey, we can get a couple of dollars extra out of you. Mm-hmm. So with AT&T Next, you don't pay that. With, so Verizon has a payment plan as well. And we're going to get into a new thing that they've announced that, again, is in this vein where they want to try and get you to upgrade more often. Their payment plan, unlike T-Mobile's, and unlike this new AT&T plan, the Verizon one has a financing fee. You pay an extra $2 a month. Not a big deal, but they don't need to. And AT&T is not charging a financing fee with AT&T Next. You can pay your phone off early. Customers can trade in their phones after 12 months. So once you've had the phone for a year, you can upgrade. a little bit different than T-Mobile's, where T-Mobile's you're doing it every 6 months. But, I mean, it's still better than now Verizon and AT&T. It's a full 24 months. You have to wait to get a regular upgrade.
Yeah.
Get a new phone at $199 or whatever and then sign a new two-year contract. So being able to get it every year is great. There's no additional monthly fee to participate in the AT&T Next upgrade program. So T-Mobile charges you $10 a month for Jump. AT&T is not charging you anything extra for Next.
But they're already gouging on the subsidy already, so what the hell?
Right, and that's the thing. That's kind of the rub with this AT&T plan. Verizon's we don't know yet. We assume it's going to be similar. Like worse. I said, we'll get into that too, or worse. But AT&T's, so if you're not already familiar with the way phone subsidies work, when you go in and buy a new phone, you're paying, you know, $70, $80 a month before taxes for your phone on a single line plan, or you're paying, you know, $120, $130, $140 or more for multiple lines on a family plan. There is a, and you get a new phone, $650 phone, you get it for $199 on a new two-year contract, your carrier has built in it's about $20 per month per line that's built into your phone plan. So you're that's the subsidy. They're going to make their money back. They give you the phone for $200. They're going to make back that extra $450 somewhere. So they build it into the plan. Right, that's fine. You know, that's how subsidies work. With this new 18...
But the $600 phone ends up running you about $900. It's kind of like running down to the buy it by the week store.
Right.
Yeah. Rent a wheel.
And yeah, right. It's only $35 a week per wheel. You can, you know. But that's how the carriers make their money. You know, you continue to pay that $20 a month or roughly $20 a month. None of this is like been confirmed with any of these carriers. They don't have solid numbers for this. It can vary by a couple of dollars depending on the customer. If you use a lot of data, they're paying more for you to use their network because you're using it more. If you hardly ever use it, right. The differences are not big. but that's how carriers make their money when they're subsidizing phones. So with AT&T Next, you are still paying the same price for the plan. You're still paying for that subsidy. With T-Mobile's Uncarrier plan, they reduce the price of the monthly service. So, and that's why James and Nick both are, that's why you guys are both saving money.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
$50 to $80 a month, depending on how many lines you've got and whatnot, because T-Mobile reduces the cost of the plan. They take away that subsidy. AT&T is still charging the subsidy. So just keep that in mind as we're kind of talking pricing. AT&T breaks down the payment plan into 20 monthly payments. So you're paying anywhere from, about $28 or $30 a month up to $50 or $55 a month, depending on the phone. If the phone costs $650 full retail, you're paying $32 a month. That's on top of what you're normally paying with the plan. They don't reduce your plan by $20 a month and then charge you $32 for the phone. You're still paying for the subsidy, and you're paying an extra $32.
Mm-hmm. Once you pay like $1,200 or $1,500 for that $600 phone.
It ends up being, about $1,300.
But hey, you can do it every year.
Right, but yeah, you can get a new one every year. So
you're that guy who can't afford new clothes but drives around in a Jaguar or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm thinking this one in particular is probably aimed towards a lot of the iPhone users out there.
Stupid people.
I didn't say it.
right.
Well, I mean, the year idea is it does kind of indicate that because there. I mean, every time the new iPhone comes out, you see all these people who are pissed because it's like, I still got 2 years on my contract or 16 months or something, and you know. But the new iPhone comes out every year.
Right. Yeah.
While right. T-Mobile is obviously, I think, aiming more at the Android market just because the Android keep being pumped out basically every 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and flagships are every 6 months pretty much.
Well, but we're seeing, like, Samsung is on a yearly cycle now with the S2, the S3, the S4, the Note 2, and now the Note 3 this fall.
Yeah.
That's a yearly cycle.
Yep.
So I think we're going to start seeing a move towards that a little bit too. But yeah.
Not all the manufacturers are going to be synced, and not everybody's brand loyal with Android. They'll jump to whatever the coolest new phone is.
Right.
Whether it's HTC or Samsung or LG or Sony or, you know, who else.
Yeah. And even though with T-Mobile, you're turning the phone in, right? After 6 months or 12 months or whatever, when you go to upgrade, you turn the old phone in.
Yep, they buy it back.
Yep. AT&T is doing the same thing. So, and this is kind of, so you're paying the phone subsidy, you're paying the monthly extra for the phone, $30 to $40 depending on the phone, and then you have to give the phone back. You can't even take it and, you know, flip it yourself.
It's like leasing a car.
Yeah, it is absolutely like leasing a car. You're paying for it. And if you're an Apple user, you know, Apple is...
Well, you're used to paying more than you should for products. So that's not a big deal.
Apple makes no... They don't try and hide the fact. They celebrate the fact that their products are sold. They sell luxury products. You're going to pay for them. It's also why Apple makes shit ton of money, but, you know.
Yeah. There's a reason they have more cash than any other company in the world.
30-35% margins. Their customers pay for it.
Yeah. Or higher, depending on how much internal storage you want.
Right. Exactly. So that's AT&T's plan. Hopefully that wasn't too convoluted. Because they are. And
can you repeat that?
Let's start over here. We'll take another 15 minutes and run through that. We'll have a pretty in-depth write-up going up on the site in the next day or so. So be on the lookout for that. I'll give you a real good breakdown. Because it's important to know the differences and to know what you're getting into. You don't get robbed. Because AT&T is robbing you and laughing about it. Now Verizon's, this has not been announced yet. Supposedly it's going to be announced, I think, August like 18th or something. But it's called VZ Edge, and it's a similar setup to AT&T's, closer to AT&T's than T-Mobile's from the sound of it. We don't have all the details yet. But you're picking a phone at full price, or smart, you know, tablet if you want to go that way. Has to be at least a full retail price of $349.99. So if the phone's less than $350, full price, pick a different phone. Why are you setting it up on a payment plan?
that the cheaper phones typically have less margin.
Right. Yeah. It's set up on a 12-month payment plan. So T-Mobile's is just $20 a month until the phone is paid off, or until now with Jump if you want to trade it in every 6 months. AT&T's is set up on a 20-month payment plan, which you can.
Which is weird because you can upgrade every year, but it's a 20-month payment plan.
Yeah, that's bizarre. So you have to pay. I don't know. Keep going.
Well, yeah, and again, this is where it can get confusing. AT&T's, because you have to turn the phone back in, they'll let you do it at 12 months because they get the phone back. They can then refurbish it and sell it on their website and do whatever with it. So they get the phone back. If you carry that out for 20 months, you're paying. That's James when you said like $1,600-$1,700 for the phone. Mm-hmm. If you trade it in at 12 months, it ends up being like $1,300 or something total in what you're spending for the year. But if you carry, you're paying hundreds of dollars. More than the retail price if you carry that payment plan out for 20 months. So don't do that. That's a thing with any of these.
It's like this old Dilbert cartoon where they sold their product for $1 million with a $999,000 rebate, and they said all they need to do is find one rich, lazy guy.
Yep. If you sign up for one of these plans where you can upgrade it 6 months or 12 months and you don't take advantage of it, you're throwing money away. They're not great deals anyways. T-Mobile's is better than the other two, but you're throwing money away if you don't do it. So Verizon's, like I said, it's a 12-month plan. They just take the full retail price and divide it by 12, and that's what you pay per month. And then they add that extra finance charge. So it's $2 a month, $24 a year. They can get a couple extra bucks out of you. Once 50% of the phone is paid off, then you can upgrade to a new phone. So you could theoretically upgrade on the Verizon Edge, the VZ Edge, every 6 months. Because you only have to pay off half the phone. We're assuming, but we don't know yet, that you'll have to turn in that phone when you upgrade to a new phone. That's how the T-Mobile plan works. That's how the AT&T plan works.
Now you're paying retail price or Verizon's retail price?
Verizon's retail price.
Because that's usually a couple hundred bucks higher than you could buy it, say, straight from the manufacturer.
It could be.
Because, what they want? They wanted the S3, when that came out, they wanted $800 for it. But you can pick it up from other carriers for like $600 and something.
They have the S4 right now for $650, which is the same as AT&T and T-Mobile and the Google Edition S4. So that's all the same. But you're right. And when I worked for them, well, especially with flagship phones, the retail price was jacked up by $150 or $200 just for the first 30 days or maybe first 45 days. Once the initial excitement about it had subsided, then they would reduce the retail price. They were trying to keep people from buying the phone at full retail, and we were told to tell people to add a new line. Sometimes we couldn't even sell phones at full retail. Sorry, you can't get it at full retail. You have to upgrade or add a line to get this phone because it's in short supply.
Screw it. See, and right. It seems to be even more so now because a lot of these flagships are launching for $300, now instead mm-hmm. of $200 like they used to be on the regular mm-hmm. subsidized plans.
Yep. Especially when you're looking at bigger screen phones and YouTube and stuff like that. Yeah, they are. So, but yeah, once it's paid off halfway, so you can upgrade every 6 months. There's no upgrade fees. There's no contract. And lower upfront costs. We don't know what that means yet. If there's going to be, you don't have to pay a down payment like you do with T-Mobile, we're not sure. But again, this is all based off just one slide that was leaked to Droid Life.
Honestly, I could almost see them eliminating the upfront cost because you said they're not getting rid of your subsidy out of your contract. And then I would be shocked, absolutely shocked, because that would require them to lower their prices, which Verizon hasn't done ever.
Nope.
And and then they're giving you the 12 divided by 12 price of the phone, retail price of the phone. So they're still getting the phone. Basically, they're paying for the phone monthly, and then you're paying for the phone monthly again. So why the hell not reduce the upfront cost?
Yeah, exactly. So, we do know that with VZ Edge, the first payment and the $2 finance charge are going to be due at time of purchase. So it sounds like there's not going to be an extra down payment. You're not going to have to pay $99 or whatever to get the phone. You just have to make your first payment at the time that you purchase the phone. The next payment and each subsequent payment are going to be, it sounds like they're going to just show up on your bill. So, and I'm guessing that's how it works with AT&T's as well. They just bill it to you every month. You can pay off the full, pay the balance that you owe on that full retail device anytime you want to. There's no penalty for doing that.
That's shocking.
Right. So if you want to pay it off early, you can. To avoid that, I guess, extra $2 a month finance charge. I don't know.
I expected Verizon to send thugs to your home if you tried to do
that. You're shorting us of $12. You can't do that. Now, there are a couple of stipulations, though. It looks like there's going to be a maximum of 2 open installment plans per customer, and it's going to be based on a credit approval. So that means that people that, if you're not current on your bill, or if you're late on your bill all the time, you know, maybe you've just carried a balance every month.
Do they send a repo man to take your phone away if you
No, they're not going to let you sign up for the payment plan. They won't let you sign up for the installment.
No, if you're currently on the installment plan and you fall behind, does that mean that they just come and?
Oh, there might be some kind of clause in the terms and conditions where they'll just bill you the whole retail price.
You'll be walking along and some guy will just grab it out of your hand. And run off.
It's like
we'll see a new reality show, phone repo.
Could be. So yeah, and then there's a dollar limit as well, a cap of $1,000 total.
Is Ready Phone on the market that expensive?
It says combined installment plan.
Oh, combined. Oh, per wow. Customer.
So like you can only have 2 installment plans open.
Per customer or per account for like the people who have like, so me and my wife are on the same.
It sounds like it's going to be like if it's you and your wife on the same deal, if you got a phone that was $650, mm-hmm. and then she wanted a phone that was $650, you would have to then pay off $250 of your phone before hers would fit under that $1,000 cap.
Yeah, that's what it's. I'm saying. You know? It sounded like, and that's kind of interesting, particularly for people who then have big family plans. What if you have 3, 4, 5 people on it? Wow, yeah. You're just kind of getting screwed there.
I don't know.
I've got 5 lines, so that wouldn't probably be the best for me.
Right. So, and again, because we're assuming that they're not going to reduce the cost of the monthly plan, just like with AT&T, you're paying for the phone twice. So, on the one hand, with all that being said, hopefully, like I said, it makes sense. We'll have a write-up on the site up soon. On the one hand, it sounds great because they're getting rid of contracts, right? We've kind of been clamoring for this.
For a long time.
Yeah, for a while. And you're starting to see that kind of trickle into the mainstream, like contracts are not a good thing. Being stuck in Canada for a 3-year contract on a phone, it's not a good thing. Not only is your phone outdated and you're bored with it, but it's not running the way it should. I mean, these phones are not built to last 24, 36 months. It's not going to last you 3 years. So this is a good thing on the surface. But these companies are still finding a way to keep those margins. I mean, Verizon's making 30 to 32 cents profit on the dollar.
And the problem is they're actually right now they're getting more desperate to make money because cell phone for several years has reached saturation in the United States. Basically, everybody who wants a cell phone has one. So they started pushing the smartphones with their data plans, but now we're starting to see smartphone saturation where everybody who wants one has one. And so they got to find – it's not expanding, you know, bringing in new customers. It's trying to find new revenue streams out of existing customers.
You are exactly correct. And that's why we're seeing
– service fees.
Yeah, $20 and $30 upgrade fees for no reason.
Yeah. They didn't used to have those.
Oh, no. No, and I was working at Verizon. They were the last – AT&T's always had them. I worked at AT&T for like a year before I worked at Verizon. $36 on activation fee, $18 on an upgrade fee. Never changed. T-Mobile had them on their contract plans. Verizon tried them, got a lot of backlash. Their customers were not happy with it, so they pulled them like a year and a half later, rolled them back out again. If you go in and upgrade now, $30 shows up on your bill per upgrade on the next bill after you upgrade. So, and it's the same thing with each carrier. Like Sprint charges that too.
Crazy.
Yeah. But I mean, and you're right, James, that's why. They gotta find new ways. So
you joined twice, Nick?
Hey. Nick's on
I'm just sitting here, it's like disconnecting. I don't know what the heck's going on. Yeah, the other one will probably drop eventually. Anyway.
If we get 2 Nicks talking at the same time, that's when it gets a little worrisome. Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens when Verizon launches their the VZ Edge. But it's not going to be a good deal. It's going to be right in line with AT&T's. You are better off buying your phones at full retail or, you know, Craigslist or Swappa. And I'd probably recommend Swappa over Craigslist, unless you're really comfortable with Craigslist. But
yeah, hey, I've always had good luck with Craigslist. So.
Yeah, and, you know, just meet in a public place. You're good to go.
Pretty much.
But
doppelganger left.
Oh, yeah. Bye. Yeah. Number one. Just Nick 2 left. Yeah, buy your phone full retail. Pick it up somewhere used and let your contract run out. Don't sign a contract anymore. Even if you're still staying with Verizon, you're paying that extra subsidy every month.
And you get a lot more leverage if you're not under contract anymore. If you have a problem, if you have a problem with your bill, if you have a problem with your service, anything like that, and you're not under contract, they're more willing to bend over backward for you because they know you can just take off and leave.
You can always call them, too. We'd have people all the time. I've had friends that have called and just said, hey, I've had this issue, I've had that issue. What can you do for me? And they'll give you a credit for $10 or $15 a month, for 6 months or a year. Or, you know, you can kind of finagle a little bit of discount out of them sometimes. You call and talk to the right rep over the phone who wants to help you out.
Yep.
But get off a contract. I know that's my plan. Not buying another phone. I will ride this Galaxy Nexus till it's dead, if that's what it takes. I'm not signing another contract. So
I don't blame you at all.
I'm going to try out T-Mobile and see if that works for me once I get around to doing it. Picking up a prepaid T-Mobile SIM. But
what is their trial period now anyway?
30 days, I think.
Is it 30? Okay. Because I know a couple of our guys tried it, and T-Mobile just was not good in their area.
Well, he lives in Richmond. That should be plenty.
Yeah, and I should be okay.
Yeah. Well, you should be okay, but, you know, Poughkeepsie's not exactly a huge town, but I would have figured Poughkeepsie, New York, which at least most people have heard of before, would have it. And I either had no data or I had 1G.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. It was so bad, and nobody there had T-Mobile, probably for that reason.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Their network is weird sometimes. I will give them that.
It really is. It's like where I live. I mean, I guess I live in a very large area because while there are like 30 or 40 towns, you can drive for 20 miles and never leave a city because it's just one after the other through the Lehigh Valley. So the entire area is over 1 million people, and it's basically continuous through the whole valley, so that makes it a little bigger than any individual town. But we have exceptional coverage going for quite a distance, and it's nobody's really heard of our area.
But it works for you.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying you can go, like, you go a few minutes out of Harrisburg, which is the capital, or out of... even out of Pittsburgh. I mean, you have to be within a few miles of Pittsburgh before you get service.
Yeah, okay.
And so these are big cities that, I mean, you leave the city limits and you're leaving service coverage.
Right. Right. And that seems to be the thing with T-Mobile. Like, I've looked at their coverage map, and now this was years ago when I was kind of shopping the competition, working for other carriers. But you look at the coverage map, and it would say you had Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd take the phone there, and there was nothing. Like, you couldn't even make a phone call.
Hmm.
So, you know, you got to try it out. If it works for you, Sprint in my area is not bad.
Sprint in my area was so bad.
Right, but yeah, Nick, I know down by you.
I live in Orlando.
And John said the same thing. He's in Louisiana, and, dude, he said it's and John's kind of out of the sticks a little bit, but... Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like an hour from the sticks.
Pass. Just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw the speed tests I ran in that S4 review.
Mm-hmm.
I was on LTE and I was getting half a meg a second, mm-hmm. and then like a tenth of a meg a second up. I'm like, what is this?
I have not tried to. I haven't tested Sprint in years. It used to be decent around here.
Yeah.
But. That's all because Sprint sold their towers and then leased them back. And so now they don't control that stuff. So they're not maintaining them. They did that, this is probably like 3-4 years ago now. 3 years ago.
That makes sense, because I remember when WiMAX first came out for them, it really wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the rated LTE speeds, but I saw people with WiMAX phones getting, you know, 5-6 megs down, and yeah, you know, 3 years ago, that was
at the time
really good.
There was not, and it was right after that when they canceled the WiMAX rollout that they sold the towers. Like, they were getting ready to go out of business, they were laying off retail employees, they couldn't make payroll, they sold their towers.
I don't think I realized it was that bad for them.
Yeah, it was rough. So they and ever since their network's gone to crap because they can't, and they're not maintaining it.
That makes sense.
But the one nice thing between, at least about T-Mobile, is they're rather aggressively pushing not just their new network, but their old network too, because I took 2 trips west within about a month of each other. And if I was on the Edge network, I mean, it was useless. The ping times were so long that about anything you tried to do would time out. Yep. Said a month later, driving the same route, it was still slow. I mean, really slow, but it was useful. I mean, you could actually look up maps and do some limited web browsing and stuff going the exact same route. So,
right.
I mean, that was just within a month's period. They improved the network from unusable to usable.
Yeah. And it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that's the new plans that are coming out. Don't mess with them too much. unless you got a little expendable cash. So moving on to this new Verizon press event that's scheduled for July 23rd. It's not confirmed yet, but they're probably going to be announcing the new Droid line. So Verizon looks like they're going to be carrying 3 new Droid phones and then the Moto X as well. So they have 4 Motorola phones in their lineup this fall. These 3 new Droid phones, the Droid Ultra, the Droid Max, and the Droid Mini, we've got write-ups on the site about these. We don't have official like full specs yet, but they're basically upgrades from the Droid Razr, the Droid Razr Max, and then the Droid Mini is going to be just a smaller like mid-range device. But we should see those announced here pretty shortly. A week or so, we'll see those announced. So, I think the Droid Ultra is going to be about a 5-inch device. Maybe 4.7, but looking more like 5 inches. 1080p, you know, nothing mind-blowing, but an upgrade. You know, might have a Snapdragon 600 in it, 2 gigs of RAM. I don't know if we're going to see these with the new clear pixel cameras. Probably not. It feels like this is the last little bit of the Droid, like the old Motorola lineup. When Google was talking about having an 18-month timeline of phones they had to roll out, I think this is the last, like the end of it. So the Droid Max is just going to be the Ultra with a bigger battery, just like the Razr and the Razr Max. The Droid Mini, they're looking at probably a 4.5-inch screen. That might have like a Snapdragon 400 in it. Don't know clock speeds or we don't have a lot of details on these yet. We'll get them in a week, but nothing really, really exciting. But if you like those Droid phones, the Max or the Ultra, you know, it could be the way to go there. They look like they're solidly built. They'll definitely get you good battery life. We sell that out of the Max HD now. So, any thoughts on those guys? That's pretty straightforward. We'll see an announcement on them. And
I'm glad they're updating the stuff.
Yeah.
Not really a whole lot to say about it. I don't really think they're going to be turning any heads. It's just like, oh, look, it's a new Motorola Droid, whatever.
Yep.
Well, there doesn't seem to really be anything special about them.
Yeah. Iterative updates.
Yep.
Google TV might see a little bit of a twist on Google TV, though. Some news now, and this was just came out this evening. Google's rumored to be working on an online TV service. So we've seen them kind of try and move into the living room with Google TV. Didn't really take off. It's built into a lot of smart TVs now, the Google TV software. but it's not. It hasn't really caught on. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that this new online TV service is going to work like regular cable, but it's going to stream over your broadband connection.
Which is going to go over like a lead balloon with your broadband provider.
Right, right. And apparently they're having some issues with licensing, the TV industry, and that market is
difficult. Well, the TV industry, I mean, they make all their money off of commercials and stuff. And the cable providers hate online TV with a passion.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're going to try to find some way to throttle it. I mean, if you're on some services, doesn't AT&T Home have some kind of like a 250 gigabyte data cap a month?
I don't know about AT&T's. I know Comcast does.
Maybe it's Comcast then.
I used to have Comcast, and they cap it at 250 gigs.
A lot of those do, it seems like.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but what is of online video something like? I mean, the higher quality that you would want from Netflix or this TV service is running somewhere around a gigabyte an hour.
Yep, that's right. And so, I don't even think that's 1080p. I think that's 720p.
Yeah, and so then you're going to be running that plus, you know, whatever you normally do on your computer. So that could really start to strain those data caps.
Mm-hmm. You get a week of binge watching a show on Netflix 3-4 hours a night, you know.
And no more internet for the rest of the month.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a long weekend where you're just on a movie marathon and you're watching stuff for 6-8 hours straight. You're done.
Or like the kids. I mean, the Netflix is on half the day with the kids. Yeah. They're not always watching it, but they want it on for some reason in the background. You know, so dinosaur triangle running all day
background
or something.
Noise.
And they start crying when it turns off, but they're not watching it when it's on. I don't know. We'll see how. I heard rumors that Apple was running into some issues with, and had even offered to pay for ads that were skipped in order to kind of bring some of this cable TV content online. Supposedly they're kind of working on some TV stuff as well. It's going to be tough to break into. I'd love to see it, especially in, you know, as Google is rolling out fiber in more cities. That's a really slow rollout, but Google is doing it slowly so that it's a, you know, it's profitable, or at least they're breaking even on it. So if they could get some kind of cable TV service over broadband, and it wasn't outrageously expensive, this could be our a la carte channel option, you know?
Yeah, that would be great. That's why I got rid of cable.
Yep. Yep.
It's hard to pay in so much to watch three channels.
And I would love, honestly, man, I would love to pick up, I don't watch very many shows, but I'd love to pick up like HBO. If HBO Go would come out a la carte, you know, I'd spend 10, 20 bucks a month on that.
Yeah, I think they missed the boat on just requiring you to have HBO to get that service.
AMC? Watch The Walking Dead and Mad Men? Just give me that. I'd pay 10, 20 bucks a month for that. You know? So you could get an extra $30 to $50 a month out of me for a TV if I had the choices to do it.
Mm.
I don't, so I'm just paying for internet and Netflix. And that's all you're going to get. So.
It's what it is.
Yep. Plus, I like internet TV, honestly, better than cable TV, just because, I don't know if you've noticed, both Hulu and Netflix have started rolling out their own programming.
Yes.
And that's because it's, with the internet, niches abound, because it's just a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So lesser-rated shows, niche programming, can really succeed in ways that the large cable channels could never support. You know, like everybody complains about Firefly going off the air, but if it had been on the internet like that, of course that didn't exist back then, it never would have had to go off the air because there had been plenty of people watching it on their own.
Hey, yes. Josh, you hear that? Get on it.
Firefly reboot. on Netflix.
Time to fix it.
I can get behind that, man.
Because there have been a bunch of interesting shows that have popped out on Hulu, and it's just the idea that since you don't have to get, you know, in the top 10 or 50 or whatever Nielsen ratings to survive on the internet, Because you doesn't have to, you don't have to watch it at the same time as everybody else.
Yeah.
And anybody worldwide basically can watch it. It's a lot easier for a show to succeed.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like the digital distribution channels and indie developers when it comes to games.
Exactly. That's basically what it is.
I mean, you know, for me, gaming has never been better because we have just an abundance of, if you want to make a game, go throw it on Steam. Nobody's stopping you, and you can make your money, and people can be happy.
Yeah, yep. even good old games has picked up a bunch of indies.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
And there have been a bunch of actually really big games that have come out that were indie developers and just hit people across the face. They didn't realize it was going to be big.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's do that for some TV. That'd be great.
Exactly.
What was that?
That was my phone buzzing, sorry. I have it on quiet so it doesn't make a noise here. I'll turn on an actual silent.
Oh, dude, it's fine. It's fine. I was like, what the heck? So a little bit of hardware news. Might have a little bit of a long show tonight, so.
It took forever to explain the plans.
It did.
Yeah.
Don't blame us. Blame the carriers for that. They roll out this convoluted mess.
it's all their fault.
So, Nick, tell us a little bit about the Sony Xperia Honami.
Yes.
You wrote this up today. This thing looks pretty sweet, man.
Yeah. See, I was so excited because, without going too far off tangent, I was looking at the Nokia, I think it's a Lumia 1020 or whatever their newest insane Windows phone is. It has a 41 megapixel camera on it.
Yep, the 1020.
Yeah, it's insane. It's got a nice sensor, blah, blah, blah. It's fantastic. I'd love if they would make Android phones, but they don't. So thankfully Sony's here to more or less fix that little niche. And they're going to give us a 20 megapixel camera that isn't obnoxious like the S4 Zoom is. And on top of that, it seems like they pretty much nailed every other spec on the high-end book. You have your, you know, quad-core Snapdragon 800, 2 gigs of RAM, Android 4.2, et cetera, et cetera. The camera itself, I'm really hoping they don't skimp on the sensor, though. Just looking at the leaked shots, you know, just the pictures that we have of the body, it looks like the lens is really small, which worries me. I'm thinking they're going to pull, I don't know, pick any other manufacturer out there that loves to dump megapixels on you and chintz in the sensor. And then you just get this really huge, crappy quality picture. So, I mean, Sony, though, is promising that they're going to have some kind of G lens and a better sensor and all this other stuff. So, you know, we'll have to wait till it's officially announced. Looks like maybe September. But I imagine if we're getting leaks this early, we'll probably find out a lot more between now and then.
Yeah.
And
I feel like the more recent Xperia cameras have been kind of a mixed bag. Like, you're getting good reviews on from some people, and some people are like, nah, this thing is awful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so, and I think it's, again, if you look at them, that, you know, it's a teeny little lens and stuff. I mean, it just looks like they're skimping on stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not a camera expert. I'm sure James could do a lot better in that department. But I think back to my freaking Nokia N95, which had this big honking lens on the back of it and took amazing pictures.
Yep.
You know, that was 5 years ago, and I still have a phone that takes as good a picture as that thing.
Yeah.
That's because the size of the sensor is critically important, and I don't know of any cell phones that go bigger than the 1 1/3 sensor size.
The
HTC One.
That Lumia 1020 is a 1 1.15 or something like that. If we're even talking about the same thing, again, I'm not a camera expert, but I'm pretty sure it's a better sensor than your usual phone.
Yeah. But, yeah, well, and maybe we'll see some, you know, with this Moto X and some of the clear pixel stuff, maybe that'll help.
Yeah.
A
little tricks.
Yep, yeah, we'll see. So tell me what's up with Samsung's Galaxy Folder. And then we'll move on very quickly because that's just funny.
They love their awful names, don't they?
Yep.
And Galaxy Folder. I'm I'm thinking it's like a folder with a screen on it or something. I wasn't really sure what to think when I saw this article from Ross today.
Kyocera launched that dual screen thing on Sprint a while back, last year.
But at least that was an attempt at a real phone. I don't know.
But it folded, like it was that weird like hinge thing.
Yeah, it was sort of like some weird book tablet phone hybrid thing. It was trying to make a new market for itself or something. I don't know.
The pictures for this folder, the Galaxy folder, look like an old Samsung. What was the model? U900, I think.
I'm not even sure.
It had a big camera on the back, like a big 8 megapixel camera on the back of it. And the clamshell, when it opened, the top screen like flipped around, and then you flipped it shut and held it like a digital camera.
I remember that. It had the little rotating thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
The pictures on this one almost look like that.
You're right, they do.
When it was closed, it had the big display on the outside.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I just thought it was funny. I don't know that any of us are going to pick that up. I have no desire to go back to a clamshell device, but...
Yeah.
It might replace the HTC Mini as our joke phone.
It could.
Oh. I'm liking the sound of that.
Unseat the king, though.
Fantastic.
In search of a market.
Well, and Samsung's always played around with stuff like that. Like, even if six people buy it, they're going to try it because why not? It might catch on. Moto Active, or not the Moto Active, the S4 Active is, some say, a better device than the S4. So
they're really heavily marketing that, too. I've heard a lot of people talk about that. I mean, you had some buzz about the S4 when it came out, but I think I've heard more people ask me about the S4 Active.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, it's a more compelling device again. It's unlike these new droids coming out, it's just there's something new about it. There's not a lot of waterproof devices out there that are actually worthwhile.
I think Sony missed the ball with the Xperia Z and the ZL on that.
Yeah.
They could have pushed those a lot harder over here, signed some carrier deals, and really done something great with that, too, just for that reason.
Yeah.
But we mentioned the Moto X phone. There's still more rumors on that, and... supposedly, we're going to see a launch on that one of these deals, August 23rd, I think.
Probably.
So that was released in conjunction with a rumor that the Verizon HTC One is going to be launched on August 1st, then the Moto X on August 23rd. I've also heard that AT&T might have an exclusive on the Moto X at first, so they might have like a 90-day exclusive or something on it.
Jeez.
Well, that explains
why we've seen a lot of AT&T leaks for that.
Right. And not a whole lot of other branded leaks. Although, and we mentioned this last week, there is a Sprint Moto X floating around.
Yep.
Because one of the guys I talked to on Twitter is a Sprint rep and saw one.
That's right. I remember that.
I guess his Motorola rep came in and had it and wouldn't let him handle it. But he was able to look at it and say, oh, yeah, that's got Sprint branding on it. It's a Moto X. So, well, we talked about the clear pixel camera last week, and there's no new news on that end this week. But this is something called Moto Magic. It's always on, always listening software, I guess, that you can talk to it and perform, like open up Google Now, do things with the phone without even touching it or turning the screen on. So similar to Google Now, it's got voice-activated controls, and you can just say Moto Magic on, or you can change that if you don't want to say Moto Magic to your phone because it's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
Or maybe
I'm just surprised they stole the NSA's catchphrase.
Right. So if they're always listening to you, what are they finding out?
I'm just mildly curious to when somebody else talking activates your phone. And
yeah, I wonder if it's personalized speech recognition. Probably not.
Probably not. Which means you could mess with other people's phones. Like,
well, seriously, like wouldn't that be awesome? You're like sitting across the room and you're like, Moto Magic, end call.
Moto Magic, search for large men in Speedos.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, it's we had heard rumor of this too, that the specs on this phone are kind of mid-range. Like, it's a dual-core S4 Pro processor. Probably going to have 2 gigs of RAM, but it may only have one. Like, it's not a super high-end. 16 gigs of internal memory. We don't know if it's going to have a micro SD slot or not. Not a high-end phone, but Motorola apparently has tweaked the software. So this always-on, always-listening software that's supposed to help with your hands-free and really being able to use that without touching your phone, adding some extra functionality that way. The camera with the ClearPixel technology, whatever that ends up being. However,
and the camera's interface, too. Looks pretty nice.
Yep.
Just like the idea of focus anywhere, and then it clicks and takes a picture rather than having to focus, click, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Supposedly, they're also, Motorola has tweak the software to really optimize the two cores. So you'll have, and this kind of sounded like some of the NVIDIA stuff with the octa-core. I remember them, it wasn't octa-core, talking about having
the five-core thing.
The five-core thing. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I forgot.
It's okay, man. I'm crossing the streams a little bit.
Remember, Motorola is a lot more AOSP now, too. So yes. AOSP is much, much lighter than really most of the the manufacturer, you know, skins out there.
Yep.
So that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see what that ends up being. It may be, the phone's a little small for my taste, looking at probably 4.3 inches, but
yeah.
Maybe some compelling things there that Google can, you know, expand on that Moto X line.
All right, now you can shout at your phone.
Yes, you can, from across the room. I can shout at your phone and make it do things.
I mean, I love Google Now, but I have yet to, you know, talk to my phone.
Oh,
it
man.
Feels weird.
It does.
Yeah, I do it every now and then, but it's not a normal thing for me. I do feel weird.
It helps if you have no shame like my dad. Because I remember back in the day, we were sitting in a restaurant, and he was, you know, yes, you used to have to program your voice dials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he would do that, sitting in a restaurant, just be like calling out people's names into the phone, one after the other, to program. We're sitting in public.
Oh, man.
Yep. It is helpful to have no shame on that end. And that's something that I really want to use. Like, I've made it a point to not turn off the voice activation on the keyboard, and like, I want to use that stuff more, but it's just a habit that I have not gotten into.
Yeah,
it's like you have to
same
be
deal.
Private, nobody around. You're like,
right. And part of it's like, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the loud talker on the cell phone that,
yeah,
is, you know, pissing everybody off. But if I'm by myself in the car, like, I should be in the habit of not picking up my phone. Responding to messages just with my voice, you know, like searching for stuff, navigating to places with my voice.
Nick will get in less accidents.
Right. Yes.
Oh, man.
He can do hangouts while he's driving, so, you know, he's got a little bit of skill there. Give him some credit for that one.
Jeez.
Never
going to live that down.
Nope. But it's okay. It makes for a good story. So.
Yes, it does.
HTC, moving on, they've, the HTC One Max, we're hearing some more rumors about that.
Highly exciting.
Yes. So we've got some specs that have leaked on that. 6-inch display, 2.3 gigahertz quad-core Snapdragon 800 processor, which sounds fantastic, should be lightning. I've been playing with the LG Optimus G Pro. Got a review coming up for that in the next week or so. It's got the Snapdragon 600, and this thing is fast, man. There's zero lag. It's phenomenal. So I would love to play with it at Snapdragon 800 processor and see what that feels like. What else on the specs for this thing? Have we heard anything else?
I don't think so. See, my holdup, I guess two holdups, are the camera and stylus support. Because I don't know what the point of a 6-inch device is without any kind of stylus support.
Mm-hmm. Right. It just
doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And you are completely love that S Pen, so.
Yeah.
Once you use one, it's hard to not use one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't use it every day, but you know, when I do, it's irreplaceable.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I'm still hesitant with the HTC, just that one line. We're seeing it on the HTC One Mini as well. It's that weird button layout, man.
Yeah, that thing's bizarre. I don't even know what to say about that.
Because it's strange enough going from AOSP. I shouldn't say strange, but it's a shift going from AOSP. So going from my Galaxy Nexus to playing, you know, demoing the reviewing the Droid DNA or reviewing this Optimus G Pro. Having the physical buttons, not having the swipe up to access Google Now.
Yep.
Like it's just a change. It's a shift. And HTC kind of. I haven't demoed the HTC One. Like I went into the store and played with it for a little while, but not, you know, for several days actually using it. So it just seems really weird. It takes some getting used to.
Yeah, and a lot of that stuff like the swipe up, they added in, I think it was the 4.2 update, where somehow you can swipe up on the capacitive keys and it works exactly like AOSP. And
I find myself missing that a lot, having to press this physical button in the middle here, right in the bottom, having to press that guy and hold it for, you know, just it's only a half a second or so before it pulls up. It's just weird. And then you got to go up and tap the screen. I'm not sure how it's set up on the Note 2, but with this you got to hit it and then unlock it, press and hold it. And then you've got the little Google search logo at the bottom.
Literally, exactly the same thing. Look.
Yeah, so same deal. It's just annoying.
Right in the middle. You can't really see the Google searches, but it's the exact same way.
Yep.
You can pretty much guarantee if LG has it, they do it slightly differently from Samsung. That's just the way LG rolls.
The one thing I like, touch was on the tablets. Because I have the Note 10.1. The swipe up is just like AOSP.
Okay.
You take the home button and swipe up, and
but
of course it doesn't have physical buttons because it's a tablet. So
See, I keep forgetting that because the Note 8 has the physical buttons. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird.
How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
But all of their new. Have you seen the Tab 3s? They all have the physical buttons.
Of course. I just got rid of the buttons on mine.
What did you do? Pull it out.
No, you have to. It's the CyanogenMod. You swipe up to bring the buttons up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Gives me an extra inch or something of screen space. It's really nice.
That works.
Yep. So we're saying all this, assuming that the HTC One Max is going to be the same button layout and everything as the HTC One and the HTC One Mini.
No reason to think it's not going to be.
Right. It's just going to be a big HTC One.
Yep.
So, which could be a good thing. I mean, it's an amazing device. So,
And we could use some competition, too. I mean,
yeah.
Nobody needs to be alone. Samsung might rule the space, but
there's
always room for somebody else to take over.
And LG's got a compelling product here, I'll say that. And I know that that is...
I loved the original one.
I remember you talking about it. Yeah. It's a great device. And it's available globally. So LG's come a long way. I'll just say that, and then you'll have to read the review to get the rest of it. HP may be getting back into, and I'm going to kind of breeze through the last couple of points here. We'll jump in a little bit of software and try and keep it under an hour and a half if we can. HP may be jumping back into the smartphone game. They, with the Dell Streak, and they kind of released a couple of Android devices, and back in the day, they had quite a few Windows Phone devices. But now we're hearing rumors of something called the HP Brave. It's not an official name. It's just an internal, working name. But it's an Android-powered device. The renders that leaked today look just like the iPhone 5. It's a 4.5-inch screen, 14.5-megapixel rear camera, and a 5-megapixel front-facing camera. So not too shabby there. Snapdragon 800 processor, 2 gigs of RAM. HP's released a statement saying it's completely fake. And there were no real images released or leaked. It was just a render.
So it could be anything.
It could be. It could be some guy in his mom's basement putting that stuff together. It wouldn't be the first time it happened.
Nope.
But it wouldn't be the first time that an OEM lied and said, This isn't happening. And then 3 weeks later it happens, you know?
HTC.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Might even be a phone that they abandoned.
It could be an old project, something they're not working on anymore. I'm telling you, if you get a, I don't even know if we'll put it up because until we get some other kind of confirmation that it's a real device.
Yeah.
But if you find it, the render looks just like the iPhone 5. So they can't have been working on it for too long if it's a legitimate device. But I don't know. I mean, it'd be something I'd take a look at. I'm sure it's just going to be released international, like GSM unlocked. We're not going to see it on Sprint or Verizon, but the LG G2. We saw some leaks of this. This is a pretty sweet looking device.
Yes.
I'm pretty excited about that, and it may also be what the Nexus 5 is based on, kind of like the Nexus 4 and the other LG device. That was the Optimus G, right?
Yeah.
The first one. So. We're hearing now that this may have a removable battery, 2,540 milliamp hour removable battery. Don't know how it didn't look like maybe the back pops off in the video and the images that leaked. Didn't look like it was a removable battery, so I'm assuming the back comes off to take the battery out. But it's got the power button and the volume keys on the back, which is pretty sweet, just for adjusting volume when you're on a call.
Yeah, that layout's pretty awesome.
On-screen buttons, no physical buttons from the look of it, and they're laid out AOSP style, so nothing weird there. Thank you, LG.
Yeah.
The more I hear about that device and the more I play with the Optimus G Pro, the more I like it. I think my next device is going to be something big, like the Note 2, the Note 3, this G Pro. But the G2 is looking nice. We already mentioned the G Pro is on sale now in over 40 countries, so it's a global device. The Sony Xperia Z pre-orders are live at T-Mobile, so if you want to pick one of those up, T-Mobile's got it now. And the new Sony smartwatch release date originally was rumored for the middle of July. Obviously, that hasn't happened. Because that's like now. But those release dates are rumored now to be in September, which make a little more sense, again, for the retail holiday. So I haven't heard anything groundbreaking about the new Sony smartwatch, but it's just supposed to be, you know, an upgrade on the existing smartwatch that they've got out. So,
yeah, I really hope that takes off because I kind of like their vision better than whatever else is out there right now.
Yep.
Although I saw some pretty compelling little renders for Samsung's possible smartwatch today, but, you know, that's right back to that HP thing. Who knows who the heck did that crap?
Right. and Google, still working on one. And Apple, for that matter. I'd be willing to take a look at whatever, as far as smartwatches go. If it syncs up Bluetooth and it works well, I'd be willing to take a look at it. But
yeah,
I'm sure that Apple's is going to integrate with iOS and that's it. So
probably.
But yeah, we'll see what happens in a couple. I'm sure we'll see some more leaks on that you know, in the next 3 or 4 weeks. So a little bit of software stuff. We're hearing that Samsung may skip Android 4.2.2 and go straight to 4.3 for the Galaxy S3 and the Note 2.
Yeah. I'm not excited about that.
Yeah, it just means you gotta wait a little longer.
It means I'm gonna wait a lot longer, is what it means. Because it's taking this freaking long to get 4.2 out.
Yeah.
Ugh, they drive me nuts.
But it's not surprising. I mean, that's kind of what Google was.
I know. It still sucks.
Yeah. But it's better than having 4.2.2 and then having to wait for 4.3 and then already having Key Lime Pie out and having to wait for that too. You know? So hopefully, if 4.3 comes out here soon, which we'll probably just see that on the Nexus 5, and they'll announce it then. But
see, what you ought to do, Nick, is figure out how to pull out the kernel module for the S Pen and integrate it into an AOSP ROM.
Well, I kind of went over that last week. There's an app on the Play Store called CM S Pen Helper or something like that. There's a couple of different ones, but it's basically, I guess, a plugin for CyanogenMod or any other AOSP ROM. And it works really well. It detects the S Pen when you pull it out. Works great, and everything that it does in TouchWiz. I'm trying to remember what my main reasoning was. Oh, the camera. That's what it was. The problem is the TouchWiz camera is just so much better than not only AOSPs, but everything else on the market, that it's not worth going AOSP in my
The one on the Note 10.1 is terrible.
That's funny. Yeah, the one on here is fantastic.
It's just your standard generic camera, basically. There's nothing compelling about it.
Yeah, no, this thing has a ton of stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like I've seen that built into a couple of ROMs, too, that S Pen support.
Yep.
And it's probably just that app. They pulled the code off GitHub.
Yeah, probably. It's probably like everything else.
Little Kang action.
Exactly.
But, you know, we'll see. The Google Play Store on the web was updated to look like the Android app now. So everything is all carted up, and it is really fast.
Yeah, at least that.
The site loads really fast. It also was down for a little while today, so.
Really?
It was. Not for very long, but it
never happens.
Play Store crashed
for a little while. That never happens.
Yep. But, you know, I've heard lots of people complaining about it. I've heard lots of people that love it.
There's too much white space.
I feel like that, too. I really like the look, but there's a lot of empty space. But, I mean, I like it. It's clean.
Yeah, I mean, if they could just fit a few more things on screen, it would be way better.
Or just make those cards, make those blocks a little bigger, you know, to kind of fill it out. I don't know.
I don't know. They could do so much more. When I'm sitting on a 1080p, you know, TV with that thing, you have like cards, white space, cards, white space. You know, it's ridiculous.
And it doesn't do that on your phone. So
no, it fills the whole screen.
Yep,
and it's the same resolution.
Yep. So they'll get it fixed. There'll be some more tweaks on that. But that was like a major rollout. They were talking about that at I.O. back in May. So now we're just seeing that happen. The Chrome beta for Android was updated today with support for WebRTC. Now, this is pretty cool. Like, it's got its normal, you know, speed improvements and bug fixes, yada, yada. But this WebRTC supports voice and video communication. It's going to allow for video chat and voice chat without installing any additional software. So right in the browser, you can start a video chat. I could see, you know, Hangouts on air, just in your browser. Click a link, pops it up, start streaming. If you got a front-facing camera, you're good to go. No need for Skype or the G Plus app, you know, to set up a Hangout on air. It's just right there in your web browser. So we'll see how that is implemented, but the support is there now. And then a couple of apps that the Google Glass Boutique, something called Google Play Google Glass Boutique, was teased in a web update. It looks like it's basically going to be the Play Store for Google Glass with, you know, native Glass apps. So we already knew that native Glass apps were coming, but it's good to have it confirmed. So, and then there's also a new dating app called Tinder that's been all over the place, and I'm very happily married. I'm not worried about a dating app, but it's kind of a cool concept. It works like Pandora. You create a profile, upload a photo, and then you like or dislike other people. And you're looking for people that like you back, and then you can create a connection and date or whatever. So,
you know what's hilarious about that? Is that exact same idea was on a TV show.
Was it?
Yep. There was an episode of Bones that featured where if you set up a profile, if your phones, it detected if your phones, you know, through the GPS came within a certain range, you could then plus up or plus down them, and then it would let you contact each other.
I think I remember that, dude. That's fantastic.
We're not talking about an obscure show. It's a fairly highly rated show. Right. It's the same idea.
I bet you the developer saw that and was like, I can do that in real life.
There you go. Opportunity came a knocking, right?
Except with any luck, he's not a murderer. You know,
like that's true.
Show.
Yeah, well, hopefully. You know.
But that's hilarious, man. So, yeah, I mean, that just about wraps it up. What's new in your world, James? Like, what's new apps or new hardware, anything you're playing with?
Well, I said since the last time I was on the show, I got a new tablet. My old Zoom, I don't know what happened to it. It died. It was working fine 1 minute, and then the next time I went to turn it on, it just wouldn't turn on anymore.
Fine.
It still works in theory. I can plug it in and it'll mount the file system, but no screen comes on or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I picked up a Galaxy Note 10.1, and I'm pretty thrilled with it.
Cool, good.
The S Pen is wonderful, particularly in a tablet setting.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of photo editing on my tablet now, and it's a breeze with the S Pen.
Any other software that you've installed, or are you just using the stock TouchWiz stuff?
It came with Photoshop Touch, which is actually pretty decent. It's not like the full Photoshop, but it's more like Photoshop Elements, the stripped-down version, but it's still fairly powerful for a lot of uses.
Cool, very good.
And it's a lot of fun to play games on. I'm still playing Grand Theft Auto 3.
Dude. Nice. I tried to play that on my phone, and it was just, I couldn't get the controls right.
That's
it was
impossible. Yeah,
on a tablet, it's a lot more fun, even if you don't use the controller.
Yep. I'd love to be able to pair a phone up to a tablet and use the phone as a controller. I'm sure there's apps that'll do that.
But there are apps that can do that. I never got one to work with Grand Theft Auto 3, though your mileage may vary.
Okay. I'll have to look into that. But cool, man. Well, that's awesome. It's always fun getting new toys. Nick, what about you, man? What's new?
Sprinkle Islands came out last week. I'm a big fan of the original Sprinkle and pretty much anything by the developer Mediocre. Trying to think of what else, if anything, on the phone side. I mean, I've been messing around with some more ROMs. I've been having bizarro issues with my Note where I just have... I don't know if it's just stuff getting old or something stupid going on, but I have these weird pauses and slowdowns and just doesn't seem to matter what I do. It's stupid. I don't know how else to explain it.
Right.
It's
just
possible.
It's not acting like it used to 6 months ago.
Maybe you got some bad spots in the flash memory.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's about it. And I'm just trying to look through, anything on here that I might have missed.
Right.
Maybe not. Been playing around with more of those Humble Bundle games from the other week.
Yeah.
And I've been using a lot of that Steam app thanks to the Steam sales.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, and Trevor just popped up here too. He said, for gaming, you can always pair a, and I guess James, you already knew about this, PS3 controller to play games if you're rooted.
You have to own a PS3.
Yes, that's true. I wonder, maybe if you could, if you really wanted to, I guess you could just pick up a used PS3 controller somewhere.
Well, they sell plenty of Android Bluetooth control. In fact, GameStop, I believe it's GameStop, has their own branded Android Bluetooth controller. It's like $20.
Yeah, they probably
I'm pretty sure that's cheaper than a PS3 remote.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're probably even used $40-$50. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the Xbox ones are in that range, so I doubt Sony's much cheaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nope. Well, Nick, you had mentioned Sprinkle and Sprinkle Islands. I still have not checked those out, but you said they're really fun, so I'll have to jump on that.
They make really solid games. I think this is their third game now. Sprinkle was the original, and then they had Granny Smith, which came out last August, I believe, because I remember that was around the time they unveiled the Note 2.
And people still
phenomenal.
Yeah, people still rant on and rave on how great that game is.
Yeah, it really is.
So, cool, man. Well, I am playing with the Optimus G Pro. That's been fun.
Yes.
John sent this to me. I got it last Thursday. And I was a little hesitant just on the size at first. I was like, after the Droid DNA was a little too tall, a little too thin. I didn't really like the feel of it overall. This G Pro is solid. Back's plastic, feels a little cheap in your hand, but other than that, I mean, it's tight and it's not moving. There's no real give to it. The phone's well constructed. 1080p screen looks awesome. That Snapdragon 600 processor is lightning fast. I'm going to be sad when I have to go back to my Galaxy Nexus.
He's already crying.
That's good.
John hit me up today and he's like, hey, LG wants this thing back. When are you going to have the review up? I said, man, can you give me like another week?
Going on vacation
in a week. I'll send it back next Wednesday right before we leave. So the camera's good. Dude, it's a great device. So I'm having a little bit of an issue with, and I'm sure this is just adjusting my hand position, with the bezel being thin. I end up palming the back button.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, or the menu button. Like, I just hit it with the edge of my hand right there when I'm doing stuff.
The note isn't any better.
Yeah.
Again, you can't really see the buttons, but whatever.
The button layout we figured out, Nick and I figured out the other day, they're just switched.
Yeah.
So the menu and the back button are swapped on the Note 2. But the as we found out tonight, the home button, long pressing that, the action is the same.
That's one thing I noticed with the original Optimus G is like, wow, they ripped off TouchWiz so hard, it didn't even
funny. Same thing. Same
they
thing.
Really don't even try.
Nope. Samsung copied Apple, LG copied Samsung.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's a good device. I would prefer not to have this like the slick plastic back. It's got like a pattern on it, so it's supposed to look like carbon fiber, but I prefer like the matte finish on the back of the DNA. But if it were running AOSP, it'd be great. I could even figure out how to deal with the physical buttons. It's a good device.
It's probably a rooted thing to turn it off.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. Wow. And with the extra screen real estate, I wouldn't even need to hide the nav buttons like you can with the CM10. So be on the lookout for that review. It'll be up soon. I haven't really played with too many other like new apps and stuff. I've just been... The keyboard is surprisingly decent, the stock keyboard.
I know the old one, that was a problem with the old Optimus G. The keyboard would give you basically constant wake lock. I'm assuming they fixed that.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had any problems with the battery.
That's a small problem.
Great.
Yeah, because the first time I used it, it lasted like 4 hours or something on a full charge with basically just sitting in my pocket.
Right.
And I forget who told me. It's like, yeah, they got a problem with the keyboard. I installed a new keyboard, disabled the LG keyboard, and I got like a day and a half out of it or something.
Jeez.
That's what I'm seeing on this. I could get a day and a half out of it. And we're talking like five and a half hours screen time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Screen time. Like if I'm using it on 4G and it's still, I've got 18 or 20% at the end of the day. So.
I know the Pro had really good battery life. Well, the Nexus 4 has really good battery life, too.
And I'm wondering how much of that is just me coming from the Galaxy Nexus on Verizon, which is notoriously horrible.
Well, you're not running the LTE antenna anymore, which is a battery hog. You're not running the AMOLED screen, which is a battery hog. So... that all, and plus it's a much bigger battery. I think the Galaxy Nexus 1850 or something.
Yeah, it might even be smaller than that. It might be like 1750.
And the I think the Verizon one was a little bit bigger because of the LTE antenna, but only like 100.
I think the
Nexus 4 is 2200, and I imagine with the bigger screen that one might be bigger than 2200.
We can find out real quick. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I can definitely look. Yeah, 3140.
Oh, that's a huge battery. That's note category.
Yep. I love it, man. It's fantastic. Yes. So, that's it. Unless you guys have anything else, I think that's it for the show this week. We got a good one. So,
you know what, actually? Real quick, I forgot about this last week. I just took the bag off my phone and saw the SD card. Interesting issue that I had with battery life on this thing. I was getting maybe half the battery life I used to on the Note. I couldn't figure out why. And after a while, I figured out it was my SD card going bad. Ooh. And it ended up, it was bizarre. I don't know, it just caused all kinds of weird... It didn't even show wake locks, like, a lot. But I guess the constant having to rescan, every time it would unmount itself and remount, was killing the battery. And sure enough, I went out and got another SD card, put it in, and I haven't had the issue anymore.
Interesting.
It took me a while to find that one on Google.
Right, yeah, that's like...
So if you have crazy battery problems, try just taking your SD card out and see if that helps.
Yep. And I feel like it's hours of troubleshooting and...
that was a headache.
To pinpoint that issue, so...
It drove me insane.
Well, good. I'm glad you got it fixed, though.
Yeah, me too.
Awesome. Well, thanks for hanging out, guys. It was definitely fun. That's Android, the Android Does Show, episode 17. You can find us on Twitter, at Android Does. Trevor's saying media server. I don't know what you're talking about, Trevor. ? Media server.
Yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is yes?
Media scanner, really.
Oh, media scanner. Okay. Yeah. It has to keep rescanning for that memory card issue.
Yep.
That makes sense. But yeah, you can find us on Twitter, at Android Does. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Google+. We're there. Come, you know, drop us a comment. Stay high. We love to chat. So thanks for hanging out again, guys. Have a good night.
You too.